How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 2. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Well, thank you, Announcer Bot, and welcome back to How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy.
And this is the bringing together of two successful podcast formats, the Couples Podcast and the Comic Review Podcast. And we're going to see how it works.
And I have to read comics.
Right. That's the idea. So, before we get into it, want to tell you that you can email us at, this is all one word, howigotmywifetoreadcomics@gmail.com.
And I checked that address.
And it did work?
Or, yes.
Okay.
But we haven't gotten
haven't got anything yet. The welcome to Gmail, probably.
Yeah, that's it.
That's about it. And also, you can subscribe to the show via iTunes, and that's you just search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. And you can also check out my other podcast, Vast Wasteland, on iTunes as well. Okay, first topic tonight. Finally, something happened in Countdown.
Yes, I was a little bit behind on Countdown, so this week I read from 9 down to 6, which is the one that came out today.
That's right.
Or this week, I'm
That's
sorry.
That's right. And I do want to preface this to note that, and we've said this in the previous show, there's going to be spoilers. We taped the show on Sunday. The comics come out the previous Wednesday. I don't know when you actually listen to this. So you've had a minimum of 4 days to read the comics. So that's the warning we're giving you. There's going to be spoilers. So I did want to preface that.
Right. There's going to be spoilers, but there's also going to be way delayed because I'm very slow at reading the comics.
That's true. So an absolute minimum of 4 days at least to do this. Countdown has been, for the most part, incredibly disappointing. Stuff was happening when they did 52. You could see there were major events. There was cohesion. Things were actually coming to a point, even when you knew it was going to happen at the end, because it was all telling the story of literally what happened in the previous 52 weeks. In this case, it's happening in real time, and yet it seems completely disassociated with what is going on in the rest of DCU.
Right, and I don't know if that's because a lot of this is supposedly taking place on the, you know, alternate worlds, but still...
We don't know.
We don't know, and it seems to me like we're still seeing the people who are traveling around on these alternate worlds in the main books, and they're not related at all, so...
Right, so I suspect that's how it's going to end up, is none of this happened in the main DCU. Well, we know... For example, this week, it couldn't have happened in the main DCU, because what happens in this issue, again, something finally happens, is the Great Disaster. Now, for those long-time, and I mean long-time DC readers, back in the 1970s, one of Jack Kirby's projects was called Commandy, The Last Boy on Earth. And...
I have no idea.
And you all have no idea, which is why I wanted to tell you about it. What happens is, and we've seen Commandy every once in a while, rarely, and we've seen some references to him. The whole Cadmus concept came out of that. The idea is that some great disaster occurs. At that point, keep in mind this is early 70s, something happens in like the 1990s and never explained, but the assumption is nuclear war happens in the DCU and this one remaining boy... exists, and it's him, and it's all of these animals that have somehow been mutated into being like animal men.
Oh, is that like where that talking lion or tiger or whatever comes from?
You mean over not the one over in Marvel?
Well, no, there's one that occasionally shows up in the DC stuff. I never read Marvel, so I have
okay.
no idea.
No, I mean Captain Marvel. Not Captain Marvel.
Oh, Captain Marvel.
Not Talkie yeah. Tawny. You thinking of him?
I'm thinking of him.
Okay, no,
sorry.
That's a separate thing.
Okay.
But they're all very militant, and it's kind of a little bit of Planet of the Apes-ish kind of thing where the animals have pretty much taken over, and it's as all things Kirby was in the 70s, it's really out there.
Okay.
And so there's always been a lot of dissension about that because people say, well, where does that fit in the DCU? Because you have today... You know, current events, you have, at some point, the great disaster occurs, and then you have 1,000 years later, you have a Legion of Superheroes. And then you have a bunch of other things that happen, you know, in that millennium. And it was never very well explained. And the general thought process was, well, that's just Kirby, it doesn't really count. Or it was somewhere in the what was then called the multiverse. And it happened somewhere else and it doesn't really count. So this is where we're actually seeing the whole great disaster occur. And they said, you know, that was a big teaser, was the great disaster was going to occur. We're now finally seeing the great disaster. In this case, this virus is out there that's killing millions and potentially billions of people, and the whole DCU is, the whole DC world is, Earth is going to be destroyed, and now we see Green Lantern is flying off, unwittingly taking the virus to other Earths or other planets. And then we've got all this set of heroes that don't really exist in the DCU now because of all the events that occurred. The point is, in one issue, I think they had more events occur in this one issue than in the preceding, I don't know, what's the number, 40-some issues of Countdown. 42-some issues.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, wow, all these events occurring, all these boom, boom, boom. Very exciting. So, I don't know if this was their plan all along. I don't think it was, because I think, in my opinion, they were making up as they went along. I really haven't seen any cohesion in this at all.
Okay, well, you know, I guess I didn't get all that from it.
Right.
Because I didn't have the background. But I can see that, what you mean by that now. So, I don't know, just the format of it, where it was all, like, narrated, rather than actually anyone talking in it at all. It was a little different.
Right, and I think it's because, I truly think that the editors over at DC went, okay, Final Crisis is coming, you need to wrap this up. And suddenly somebody said, oh, geez, we only got 6 issues left. I think we just saw was like 8 issues were just compressed into one through a bunch of narration.
Oh.
I don't think that was the plan.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Well, we'll see what happens next week with number 5.
We'll see what happens. This was actually, you know, a rather big week in DC because several different events occurred, what I'm calling the DC Reveal-a-Rama. Batman and the Outsiders, not a title you would expect to have, you know, it's out there, they're just really getting started with the title, they're still trying to figure out how it's going to work, the team members are just coming together, and then suddenly we see these two characters that are killers, they're you know, assassins, and suddenly something happens, and their word balloons start getting kind of wavy. And you think something's happened and they've been somehow taken over, because that's DC speak for somebody's taken that person over. And you don't know what, and you know what's happened. And we find out that,
well, apparently it's Ralph and Sue Dibny, right?
That's what they're saying. I mean, they it wasn't inferred. They came right out and said it's Ralph and Sue, of course, Elongated Man and his wife. His wife was killed during, it was basically the big kickoff of Identity Crisis.
Right.
And then Ralph got killed during Infinite Crisis. No, during 52, I'm sorry.
Right, and I was a little confused by that, because again, if we refer back to the Countdown issue that was just out there talking about Felix Faust and how he used Ralph's bones.
Right.
And I guess I forgot that Ralph had died.
So. Yeah. Yeah, he basically sacrificed himself to trap Felix Faust inside the Dr. Fate's tower.
Right.
The tower, the Salem Tower. And so Felix Faust just got out through the events in the Black Adam miniseries. So we now see these, it's kind of, it seems like Ralph and Sue are kind of like a combination of Dead Man and Topper. It's the husband and wife ghosts who just kind of show up, and in this case, they do exactly what Dead Man does, which take over live bodies and then just kind of control them for a while and then leave. And this would be a very interesting concept. I mean, I'm hoping that this is something we're going to see continue, where Ralph and Sue just show up every once in a while and kind of help out. It'd be nice. I don't, you know, throughout the DCU, not necessarily just in this title.
Well, did you get the impression that that Batman, like, set it up for them to be there somehow?
I don't think so. I really don't. I really think this was just a concept that nobody saw coming. I really don't think Batman knew. I don't think anybody knew. And at this point, the only person who apparently knows is Green Arrow.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens here. Do we see him again? Do we see him in the next issue? We just don't know.
Well, I kind of like to see them back.
So do I.
They were good characters.
Absolutely. And it was really a shame to see those characters disappear.
And it's also nice to see somebody come back without actually being resurrected.
Right. Right. They're still dead, but they're ghosts and taken over bodies. Okay. Over in Robin. Now, this is something that's been hinted and hinted and hinted, but I don't think we've ever seen any particular coherent or concrete evidence. Even in here, it's not clear whether this is a dream sequence or this is something actually happening. But we see... Spoiler!
Yeah, well, Spoiler or Stephanie, I don't know if she's actually being Spoiler. I was kind of thinking that, well, I guess we do see her. But he's kind of seen her in dream sequences before. So
we don't know whether this is an actual reveal. Is Stephanie back? Is Spoiler alive again? You know, you got to keep in mind that nobody's ever dead in the DCU, other than very few exceptions.
And I guess I'm just confused to no end by Robin anyways, because he's got like 18 girlfriends.
Yes. Yes, he does.
You know, between Robin and Teen Titans... You know, he's got three or four different girls on a string and never refers to the other ones.
In the other titles, right. There's the whole thing going on with Wonder Girl and Teen Titans, and yet it's never mentioned in the Robin title. And
he's still trying to date the one girl here in Robin. Right. And
you'd think, as a superhero, he wouldn't have this much time on his hands to have multiple girlfriends.
Right. And I think it's kind of mean of him to just use, you know, some local high school girl as a cover if that's what he is in fact doing. So,
right.
I don't know.
Okay, so then we've got over in JLA Salvation Run. This was kind of an anti-reveal in that the assumption has been, based on all the early solicitations for Justice League, what issue is that? 19, that... JLA was going to go to the planet Hell, which is the Salvation Run planet where the government sent all of the major villains in the DCU. And the idea was, oh, this is going to be the issue where JLA figures it out, goes to the planet, and has to figure out how to bring them back. And it turns out that's not the case at all. They get sent to the planet everybody thinks is planet Hell.
And nobody's there.
And nobody's there. And then there's this big battle with Kanjar Roh, which was very, very, very reminiscent of Silver Age type battles. You know, the big bad villain going bwahaha on my secret plan and had this trap for all the heroes. And I really enjoyed the very Silver Age-esque feel to it. But at the end, it's like, oh, by the way, this isn't actually planet. Oh, this is planet. Well, we think it's planet Hell, but it's not. The villains went somewhere else. We still don't know where they are. And so now, my concern was, you know, the second to the last issue or the next to the last issue of Salvation Run came out about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks. And it was like, but I thought they're going to wrap it up in JLA. Well, they didn't. So now we can actually see the real wrap up over, we assume, over in Salvation Run. Everybody knows. The villains are coming back.
Right.
You're not going to throw away 90% of the DC villains and never bring them back.
Right.
Obviously, they're coming back.
Now, I did just read the Catwoman that came out.
Right.
And Catwoman has been on this planet.
Right.
And then I was a little confused because apparently she was transported somewhere else. But then this issue of Catwoman explained that. So that was good. She didn't really get transported somewhere else. I don't know. But... Catwoman, she was one of my favorites, so it was nice to see that it was actually kind of worked back into the continuity. So,
okay, Angel After the Fall completed his miniseries this week. Again, IDW, they pretty much do almost exclusively miniseries. So this was, I don't know if it was solicited this way, but it was pretty much expected to be this way. What was unexpected was they left the whole thing in a huge cliffhanger.
And I don't know, it's like. The ad for the next miniseries. It says it's the first issue of a three-part series within a series. So I wonder if it's just going to actually be an ongoing.
Oh, you're thinking that's going to be actually issue six.
That's going to be issue six.
Well, that could
well
be.
So we'll have six, seven, and eight, and then issue nine will go back to solve the cliffhanger.
Well, we won't know until the next issue comes out, because IDW really doesn't make it very clear what they're doing.
Right. Now, I'm liking the story a lot. It's pretty good, but sometimes I'm a little confused that I don't recognize people. And I know you didn't watch the series.
Yeah, I was confused quite a bit through it.
But at the end, Fred is back, so I was so excited. Except that, you know, it looks like she's about to get eaten by, I don't know, a giant worm or something. So, anyway, I guess.
So, we'll just have to see what happens there. One other point wanted to note is it looks like, well, it doesn't look like, we know this, that both JLA Classified and JSA Classified are getting the boot. They're both being canceled. I kind of like both series to some extent. I think probably JSA Classified more than JLA Classified. The JLA title really had to do with who was writing a particular story arc. You know, and some of them did a decent job, and some of them really didn't do a decent job at all.
Okay. I like the JSA because it seems like it's more... Anyway, JSA is more out of the main continuity, and mm-hmm. so I could believe that these stories were taking place. And, you know, the JLA, there's too many stories for them. They couldn't be doing all this stuff. I'm sorry.
Right, and the JSA Classified really got into, okay, we're going to concentrate on this one person, this one hero, and we'll have a one... And this is the other thing. They had a one, maybe two-issue story arcs. You didn't see the six or seven-part story arcs that went on in JLA Classified. They just went on and on and on. And if it was one that wasn't very interesting, you're basically, well, you know, I guess I'll jump on again when the next one comes along in 6 months.
Right. Yeah.
Ridiculous. Before we get out of here, we want to do our ongoing game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly?
Yeah.
We have modified the rules a little bit this week. Mark only gets 90 seconds to guess because he says it ran too long last time.
I thought it was boring. If it was boring to me, it had to be boring to you guys. So.
Okay. So, Mark, I'm going to click the timer and you have 90 seconds to guess who's on the cover.
Okay. Is it movie related?
No.
TV related?
Yes.
Okay, is it one person?
No.
Is it two people?
Yes.
Is it a man and a woman?
No.
Two men?
No.
Two women?
Yes.
Are they both on one television show?
Yes.
Is it a show in prime time?
Yes.
Is it on one of the three major networks?
Yes.
Is it on ABC?
You know, this always stumps me. I don't think so.
Is it a drama?
According to the Emmys, no.
Is it, so is it 1 hour long?
Yes.
Is it considered a 1 hour comedy? By the Emmys?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. About halftime. All right. Are the two women above, over 40?
Yes.
Are they, okay, I'll just start guessing. Is it Desperate Housewives?
It is.
Okay. So now is it Terry Hatcher?
No.
Is it Felicity Huffman?
No.
Is it Eva Longoria?
No.
Wow. It wasn't out of women. Is it Marcia Cross?
It is Marcia Cross.
And the other one is the trashy blonde.
No.
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 Oh my gosh. Oh, it's the
Eight,
new woman. The
seven,
new woman on the show.
Six,
used to be on China Beach.
Five.
Is that her?
Yeah, what's
the
her name?
The woman on China Beach. I don't remember her name.
Two,
no!
It's China! It's Dana Delaney.
Oh, Dana Delaney. I was so close.
It's the Spring TV preview issue, so I know you want to take a look at that.
Okay, well, I will. Because I can't. Of course, I can't look at the magazine until we do the show. Okay. All right. Again, want to tell you that you can email us at one word, howigotmywifetoreadcomics@gmail.com. You can subscribe through iTunes. Just look for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. You can check out my other podcast, Vast Wasteland, also on iTunes.
And really, if you want to have us talk about any comic or anything, just let us know, and I'll read it. If Mark asks me to, I will, so if you ask me to,
Why not?
I will.
Okay. So, I think that'll do it. Thanks for listening, and good night, everybody.
Bye.